Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings that we have already enjoyed since the morning hours, and to know how thou hast delivered us this day and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank thee for thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness of thy people. You never let us down. And our Father, though the world may fire its fiery darts at us, it can never kill us as far as delivering us out of thy hands. But our Father, how secure we are in thee. What a hiding place. And what great grace to know our Lord, to know him as our Lord and Savior, to know that we're kept by the power of God, and no one is able to pluck us out of thine hands. And our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for deliverance this day, for the service of the early morning broadcast. Lord Jesus, how thou hast dealt with our hearts and the hearts of thy people all over concerning the need of a spiritual awakening. And our Father, let it begin in my own heart. My own heart be searched and my sins confessed and forsaken, that the Spirit of the living God may work through me in such mighty convicting power in the messages, in our prayers, in our witnessing, our testimony for Christ. And we do pray, our Father, for this message coming that you laid upon thy servant's heart. Give us grace to deliver it, and give us all hearts to receive it. Open our hearts and minds. And our Father, we do pray for the sick at this time. Bless them wherever they might be, whoever they are. Bless them, our Lord, as they listen in. Bless their hearts. May they recover from their sickness, if that could be thy will. And then again, our Lord, you allow many of us to suffer for Christ's sake, just to carry these things along with us through life. But you do give us grace and joy in our sufferings, in our trials and tribulations. And our Lord, we ask you to bless thy people everywhere. And now lead us and guide us through this service. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now as they pass the baskets around, you give as unto the Lord for the work of the ministry. Might carry on this ministry and this broadcast. Now, let's turn to number 205. Number 205, and sing, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Let's all sing it. I ask him to sing that. Verily, verily.
Yeah.
If you tell me that you believed on the Son, it is true. You have eternal life. I'm talking about heart belief. Heart belief. You have everlasting life and you can never perish. And there's no such things taught in the Word of God that you can be lost today and or saved today and lost tomorrow. That's another one of Satan's doctrines. But I'm glad that when he saves you, he gives you eternal life, and ye shall never perish. I want us to turn to number 231. Number 231 and sing, Look and Live. I'll let you remain seated at this time. We have another song coming up. Look and Live, number 231. Everybody turn to it and come on and sing it with us.
All right, let's sing.
Come on. Singing. It's good for us today. Yes? 103. Let's all turn to 103. Now I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able to stand. Come on and stand with us. 103. I will sing the wondrous story. Everybody sing. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. While the world celebrates and worship idols today, let us worship true and the living God. Come on. thank you. That's fine. That's good singing. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Now I want us to open our Bibles to the second chapter of Ephesians. The second chapter of Ephesians. I brought messages in this chapter. It would be just a little different this morning than those I brought before. And the second chapter of Ephesians, you have your Bible, you have a turn there. Huh? Now let's begin reading with the first verse. You hath he quickened, the Apostle Paul writing to the saints at Ephesus, and you hath he quickened. And that word quicken, we all know, is made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. I want you to note the word dead. Alive and yet dead. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, if you're not saved, you're dead. And that's my subject this morning. Now listen, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. And people today in their celebration of Christmas is walking according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. And who is the prince of the power of the air? No one but Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. I want you to get that now. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then the next three verses. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. At what time were we without Christ? When we were dead in trespasses and sins, in that first verse. It was at that time that we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. My, my, what scriptures here. I don't see how anyone could go wrong, how anyone could go astray on the doctrine of total depravity. Blood redemption, salvation by grace, through faith, it's all there. It's all there. But too many people do not want to accept it. They do not want it. They'll not have it. They will not accept that a man's dead. If he's outside of Christ, if he's not saved, made alive, he's dead. And perhaps there are many who are dead in our midst here this morning. You may be alive physically, but you are spiritually dead. If you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are dead. If you are still living for the world and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, if you're still self-willed and bent on having your way, you are dead. I'm going to show you some things here this morning that the Lord has been showing me here the past few days, thinking of the number of people, thousands and millions all around us, walking but yet dead. Dead. Now, Ephesians, the second chapter, and the first verse, you hath he quickened who were dead. Now, the title of the message I'll have this morning, I'll name it this morning, are you dead or alive? Are you dead or alive? Now, you may have this message on cassette for $1.50 or the 7-inch reel for $2 if you care to have them. And so many are requesting the tapes. But listen to the text. You hath he quickened who were dead. Who were dead. I want to just enforce that word this morning. All of you are now outside of Christ. If you do not know him, you are dead. The question, are you dead or alive, deserves serious thoughts. It deserves serious thoughts this morning. I want you to look at it carefully and ponder it well. Search your own heart. Are you among the living or the dead? Let us see what the Scriptures has to say in the way of an answer. Are you dead or alive? First, let me say that we are all by nature spiritually dead. The Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write the words in Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who are dead. The Lord Jesus Christ made use of it in the parable of the prodigal son. This my son was dead and is alive again. Luke 15:24. It is used again in 1 Timothy 5:6. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now, to tell a man that he is dead is something he is most unwilling to accept. Just to tell the natural man that will not accept it. He does not like to admit it. He shuts his eyes to the real amount of his danger. Many will allow us to say that naturally most people are not quite what they ought to be, but they're not dead. They're thoughtless. They are unsteady. They're not dead. They're wild. It could be that they're not serious enough about religion, but they're not dead. But what saith the Scripture? You hath he quickened who were dead. That's why it's hard to get dead people to understand your language. Explain to them the Scriptures. They have one concept of the Scriptures, and that's their own, and that's what they live after. But dead? Oh no. Let's not mention it. Men are not dead. It is going too far to say that men are dead. Here is another instance where the Scriptures is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble at the Word. God's Word teaches that we are dead in trespasses and sins, and men stumble, keep stumbling over that Scripture. Men will not believe that they are dead spiritually, but God's Word teaches that men are dead spiritually. If you're not saved, you are dead spiritually. It doesn't matter who you are, what race, what color, what creed, what belief you might own. If you are not saved, if you have never been born again by the Spirit of God, you are spiritually dead. No matter how religious you might be, how you might attend services, how much you might give to the church, or how loyal you might be to your church, your denomination, or how good you might be in your community, if you do not have Christ, that spiritual life in Christ, you are dead. And if you die in that state, you'll go to hell. Just like the ones who are not good and who are not kind and who are not just in their dealings with men. But there it is written in the Word of God. But do you know that God's thoughts are not man's thoughts, and God's words are not man's words? God says of every living person who is not a real, thorough, genuine Christian, be he high or low, be he a king or what might be, rich or poor, old or young, he is spiritually dead. That child alongside of you is spiritually dead. You may say, oh, he's so loving and kind and so obedient. And that may be so, and that's wonderful. But yet, unless he's revived by the Spirit of God and renewed by the Spirit of God, he is dead. He needs to be saved. He needs to know Christ. This and everything else the Scriptures teach is altogether right. Nothing could be said more correct, nothing more faithful, nothing more true. Take for instance, now you listen, what would you have said if you had seen Joseph weeping over his father Jacob? The Scripture teaches that he fell upon his face and wept upon him and kissed him. But there was no reply to his affection. All about that aged countenance was unmoved, silent and still. Now what was the reason? Jacob was dead. What would you have thought if you had met the widow's son in the gate of Nain, lying on a bier, wrapped about with grave clothes, followed by a weeping mother, carried slowly towards the tomb? It needed no explanation, huh? The young man was dead. This, my friend, is just the condition of every man by nature in the matter of his soul. And dare say, it is the state of the vast majority of people around us. I'm talking about church members, those who go to church on Sundays, those who go to church on midweek. How many in a Christian assembly is saved? How many? How many individuals that make up a church is saved? How many of you are saved? Are you saved this morning? Dreadful thought, huh, to say that you're dead, but it is true yet sad. Once I was dead, 25 years ago, before God awakened me, I lived all my life before as a dead man and didn't know it. And all the people around us were not saved. They are dead people, and yet they do not know it. They just don't know it. I did not know that I was dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't know anything about being lost. What it was to be lost. You ever seen yourself lost? You ever seen yourself dead? Have you ever known yourself to be dead? So this is the condition of every sin, every man by nature, in the matter of his soul, and dare say the state of the vast majority of people around us. Now listen. Listen now. Everyone here in Radio Land, God by His Spirit calls to you continually. He calls by His mercies. He calls by afflictions. Calls by afflictions. He calls by His servants as they bring the message, by His word. But how many of you hear His voice? The Lord Jesus mourns over them as He did over Jerusalem, pleads with them, sends them gracious invitations, knocks at the door of their hearts, like He's knocked at many of your door of your hearts. That's right. How many times He's knocked at the door of your heart? How many times has He invited you as His guest to come? How many times has He pled with you to turn? Turn ye. But how many regarded that precious jewel, their immortal soul, is being seized, plundered, and taken away, and they are utterly unconcerned? The devil is carrying them away day after day along the broad road that leads to destruction. And the terrible thing about it, they allow Him to make them His captives without a struggle. How many want to be captives of Satan? How many of you love where you are, and you don't want to be troubled about your soul's welfare? You love your sins, whatever it might be. That's right. And this is going on everywhere, all around us, among all classes of people, throughout this whole world. You and I cannot deny it when the Lord says we are by nature spiritually dead. When a man's heart is cold and unconcerned about salvation, when he cares nothing about the work of the Lord, when his feet are not familiar with God's ways, when his tongue is seldom or never used in prayer and praise, when his ears are deaf to the voice of Christ in the gospel, when his eyes are blind to the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, when his mind is full of the world and has no room for spiritual things, when these marks are to be found in a man, the right word to use about him is the word dead. He is spiritually dead. He has a name to live, but art dead. How many people have a name to live, and yet they are dead? Religious people, they have a name to live, and yet they are dead. They are willing, they are not willing to come out and identify themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and his despised few. He's Dr. So-and-so. He's got a name to live. Or he's Mrs. So-and-so. And I cannot take the chance and come out and acknowledge that I'm lost and that I'm dead. But brother and sisters, you'll do it or go to hell. How many are living under a profession and you don't have possession? You're working in the work. And you think everything's going to be all right by and by. But you are not willing to come out and admit that you're lost and that you're dead in trespasses and sins. You are ashamed. You're afraid it's going to embarrass you. But brother, I'd rather be embarrassed in this life and go to heaven after I die than just to stay still and stay dead and then when I die, go to hell. You're not willing to admit that you're lost. And you'll go in your profession and you'll be puffed up and you'll think you're somebody come and that you're different. You're somebody else. And God must respect you for your long service in the ministry or for all that you've done and this and that. But God requires you, my friends, to repent or perish. Repent or go to hell. Acknowledge yourself as a lost, guilty sinner or go to hell. I'm talking to you this morning. And the Lord has dealt with my heart along this line with many who are you on a profession. You do not possess Christ. You don't bring forth any fruit. You don't have the marks of a believer. I know I woke up this morning and that scripture came to me, watchman. What of the night? What of the night, watchman? What of the night? Cry aloud and spare not. No, some of you dilly-dallying and you pussyfooting around here and there and you're trying to find comfort here and comfort there. You've never taken your place as a lost sinner at the feet of Christ. Never. Your attitude is one of an unsaved individual. And you know it. Brother, if you're not saved, you're spiritually dead. When a man's heart is cold and unconcerned about salvation, well, you get it. It's a good sign you're dead. If you're working in the ministry just to make a living, or what you can get out of it, that's a good sign you're dead. You're not saved. I'm going to come just to the point. I'm going to make some remarks this morning that might astound you. But brother, we've got to get down to the bottom of things and root out some things. When your feet are not familiar with God's ways, when your tongue is seldom or never used in prayer, let me tell you something. A saint will pray. One who is saved will pray. And he'll make no excuses of missing prayer services. And I tell you something else. The same can go for our choir. If you're saved, you'll make no excuse for not attending the choir. None whatsoever. None. I know when I was working with the newspaper, if I had 2 or 3 weeks vacation and I'd be around home, didn't go anywhere, if I was painting or whatever it might be, I like to do that around the house. When it was choir practice, it was my duty to be there. I wanted to be there. I don't care whether neighbors came, friends came, they either came with me or they stay home and wait till I got back. But brother, my Lord came first. And if you do not put the Lord first in everything that you do, you are not saved. Now you put it down. If you put your family, your friends, your relative before the service of God, you are not saved. You're still dead. You might have a religious attitude about yourself, a religious cloak, a profession, but you're not saved. Lord, what will you have me do? Do this, my son. Do this, my daughter. Yes, Lord. My relatives, my family, they all come afterwards. But Christ comes first. Put him first. No, some of you are putting your jobs, you're putting your friends, you're putting your home, you're putting your families, you're putting your real estates, your business, and everything before the Lord. That's why you're lost. And if you continue that way, you'll never be saved. You're putting all those things before Christ. You're still dead. When your ears are deaf to the voice of Christ in the gospel, when your eyes are blind to the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, and when your mind is full of the world, and you have no room for spiritual things, my friends, these are marks to be found in a man. When these marks are to be found in a man, the right word to use about him is the word dead. He has a name to live, but art dead. Now, you may not like that, but it's so. We may shut our eyes to facts in the world and to the word of God, but God's truth must be spoken, and for me to keep silent would do positive harm to you. Truth must be spoken, however condemning it may be. That's what the Apostle Paul was telling us over there in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The more I love, the less I love. The less I'm loved. The more I love, the less I'm loved. So truth must be spoken, however condemning it may be. So long as a man does not serve the Lord Jesus Christ with body, soul, and spirit, he is not really alive. He is dead. So long as he puts the first things last and the last things first, buries his talent like an unprofitable servant, and brings the Lord no glory and honor in God's sight, he is dead. He is not filling the place in creation for which he was intended. He is not using his powers and faculties as God meant them to be. And how true are the words of the poet, he only lives who lives to God, and all are dead beside. All other things are dead. Now, this is the true explanation of sin not felt. This is the true explanation for one who's never experienced Holy Spirit conviction. And messages not believed, and good advice not followed. How many of you followed the advice given to you from this pulpit through the years? Now, this explains why the gospel is not embraced, and the world not forsaken, and the cross not taken up, and self-will not mortified, and evil habits not laid aside, the Bible seldom read, and neglected prayer. And that's the reason. Now, why is all this seen on every side? The answer is simple. Men are dead. Men are dead. Now, this is the true account of the many excuses which so many make with one consent. Now, what's your excuse? Let's see if your excuse fits in with the parable here over in the Luke, the 14th chapter. Everybody turn your Bible. Luke 14. Luke 14, beginning with the 16th verse. Listen. 16. Luke 14, 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper in bad money, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. Listen. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Yes, we see from that account that some have no time. Some have no time. You have no time to hear the gospel. You have no time to take time to be saved. We find time for everything else in this world but to do the Lord's will. That's right. Some have no time. Some are oppressed with business and the care of making money, just making money. Some, such people are dead. And if spiritual life began in these people's heart, their excuses would soon vanish away. Do you know that? Now, I know. Let the Holy Spirit get a hold of you and work a work of repentance, a work of grace in your heart. Pretty soon all those excuses will leave you. You'll find time to come. You'll find time to hear the messages. You'll find time to pray. You'll find time to come to the house of the Lord. You'll find time to inquire in the way of salvation. You'll find time to read the Word of God. You'll search the Scriptures. Because you are in need of salvation now. You need a substitute. You need a Savior. You're guilty. God has awakened you. Such people are dead. Now, this is a true explanation of many things which cause concern in the faithful minister's heart. Many around him never attend a place of worship at all. When's the last time you attended worship? All right. Many around him never attend a place of worship at all. Around us here. Many attend so irregularly that it is clear they think it of no importance. Many attend once on a Sunday. Just once a Sunday, that's enough. I've got other business at night, you know. I've got other interests in the evening, and so they do not attend at nighttime. And yet they're lost. Yet they're dead. And they said they want to be saved. Many attend once on a Sunday, all right? Many never attend midweek services. We're open here every Wednesday night. Doesn't matter how the world carries on, what they have, we're open here. But how many of you come? How many of you are interested in your soul salvation? What about you at the missions? How many of you are interested in having services at the mission or attending the missions, wanting to hear the messages? How many? Have you grown weary? Weary of seeking the Lord? And why is all this? There is only one reply. These people are dead. Now, do you see now how all those who profess to be Christians should examine themselves and see if they are in the faith? My friends, it is not in graveyards alone that the dead are to be found. There are only too many inside our churches and even close up to our pulpits here, and too many in the pews that are dead in trespasses and sins. The land is like the valley in Ezekiel's vision, full of bones, very many, and very dry. There are dead souls in all our community, walking up and down on our streets. There is hardly a family in which all know the Lord Jesus Christ and live to God. There is hardly a house in which there is not someone dead. It is time that we all prove ourselves. Are we alive in Christ, or are we yet dead in trespasses and sin? Then one who hasn't gone through no spiritual change is in a sad condition, for his heart is still the same as in the day he was born. In order for those who are not saved to enter into heaven, they have yet to pass from death unto life. I would that you that are in that sad plight would see your danger, that you are dead. And yet it is one fearful mark of spiritual death that, like natural death, it is not felt. You do not feel that you're dead. You say, well, I'm not dead. I don't feel like I'm dead. Now, that's the sad plight of your case. The dead, says Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and the 5th verse, know not anything. The dead know not anything. That's why God, the Holy Spirit, must quicken you, must awaken you, must make you alive to your true condition. And this is just the case with dead souls. My friends, you wonder why faithful ministers are anxious about their congregations. They feel that time is short and life is uncertain. They know that spiritual death is the road that leads to death eternally. And we fear lest any of our hearers should die in their sins, unprepared, unrenewed, impenitent, unchanged. We fear for them. It will do you no good for me to flatter you or amuse you with jokes, or say smooth things and cry peace, peace, when life and death are at stake and nothing else. This morning, I stand between the living and the dead, and I must and will use great plainness of speech. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Huh? Who? Well, let's give a good certain sound, a good clear note that all will understand. That if you're saved in Christ, praise the Lord. If you're not, you're dead in trespasses and sins, and woe be unto you. We must leave in Radio Land. Now I'm going to continue next Sunday on another subject along this line, why you ought to have eternal life, why you ought to be made alive. And so we'll hear us next Sunday morning from 7 till 8 over the Voice of Truth broadcast. And to hear the Voice of Truth message. Until that time, this is Pastor Gale saying goodbye, and God bless you. No, I don't know how to crack jokes. And I do not know how a minister, in the face of people that are dead in trespasses and sin, knowing the tragedy therein, how one can stand up here and crack jokes and amuse people, make them laugh. Just to pass time away. That's one thing the Lord never allowed me to do. But to preach the word, do not sound an uncertain note, but speak, thus saith the Lord. And that's what the Lord called me when he ordained me and I was given the charge. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. God, is how you feel, or what the situation might be, how the people might accept the message. Be instant, be alert, in season, out season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine with the word of God. Because you will not always hear the message. There'll come a time, if you do not embrace it, the time will come when you'll depart from it and drift into apostasy without any hope of ever being saved. I pled with your souls this morning. Watchmen, what of the night? What of the night around you, watchmen? Dead people walking all around you. What of the night? May we, with the Apostle Paul, use great plainness of speech. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? Oh, may you prepare yourself for the entrance of the King of Glory into your heart. Oh, may you be broken. May the Holy Spirit bring you low at the feet of Christ, confessing, repenting, crying over your sins, your transgressions. It's a good sign you're made alive. You're no longer dead, but quickened by God's Holy Spirit. I wonder how many of you heard the message this morning, or are you still dead? Did you hear the message this morning? Did it mean anything to you? Did it? If it did, stand to your feet. Let me see. Did you hear the message? Are you still dead? Oh, God help us. Are you still dead? Are you still dead? Oh, God, the Holy Spirit, brood upon these souls that are dead. Lord Jesus, by thy Spirit, quicken them, our Lord, for Christ's sake, and for thy glory we ask it. Amen. Amen. Goodbye. God bless you.